finance and economics.
Economic decoupling. Maple and pears. Why is Canada's economy diverging from America's?
The economies of Canada and America are joined at the hip. Some $2 billion of trade and 400,000 people cross their 9,000 kilometres of shared border every day. Canadians on the West Coast do more day trips to nearby Seattle than to distant Toronto. No wonder the two economies have largely moved in lockstep in recent decades. Between 2009 and 2019, America's GDP grew by 27%. Canada's expanded by 25%. Yet since the pandemic, North America's two richest countries have diverged. By the end of 2024, America's economy is expected to be 11% bigger than 5 years before. Canada's will have grown by just 6%. The difference is starker once population growth is accounted for. The IMF forecasts that Canada's national income per head, equivalent to around 80% of America's in the decade before the pandemic, will be just 70% of its neighbours in 2025, the lowest for decades. Were Canada's 10 provinces and 3 territories an American state, they would have gone from being slightly richer than Montana, America's 9th poorest state, to being a bit worse off than Alabama, the 4th poorest. The performance gap owes little to COVID-19 itself. Canada did have a deeper recession than America after COVID struck, partly because of stricter and longer lockdowns. Its GDP fell by 5% in 2020, compared with 2.2% in America. But Canada soon caught up. The country's national income grew by 4% between 2019 and 2022, nearly on par with America's, which expanded by 5% over the period. Instead, the divergence is more recent. Since 2022, America's economy has motored ahead, leaving Canada's in the dust. The reason is not some bump on the road, but what lies under the bonnet. Two drivers of Canadian growth have sputtered. The first of these is the services industry, which makes up about 70% of Canada's GDP. In the aftermath of the pandemic, Americans splurged on goods, which boosted manufacturers north of the border. American consumers gobble up around 40% of Canadian factories' output, but they have since switched back to spending on domestic services. The composition of American growth hasn't been favourable to Canada, says Nathan Jansen of Royal Bank of Canada, or RBC, a bank. The job of powering Canada's economy, therefore, falls even more to its own services sector, which relies on demand from Canadian households and the government. Unfortunately, that demand has been throttled by higher interest rates. Monetary policy has had more traction in Canada than in America, says Tiff Macklem, the central bank governor. In the latter, most mortgages are fixed for 30 years, whereas in Canada they are typically set for 5. A greater share of Canadians than Americans have already seen their mortgage payments rise. This is all the more painful as Canadian households bear more debt relative to income than anywhere in the G7 club of large rich countries. They now fork out an average of 15% of their income to pay back debt, up 1 percentage point since 2019. And unlike Uncle Sam, Canada's government has not tried to soften the blow by loosening the purse strings. It ran a deficit of just 1.1% of GDP in 2023, compared with 6.3% in America. The second faltering growth driver is Canada's petroleum industry, which accounts for 16% of exports. Canada underinvested in new production for years after 2014, when a collapse in oil prices hurt its fuel-dependent economy. In America, by contrast, oil-producing states suffered, but consumers cheered. When prices spiked after Russia invaded Ukraine, investors did more to support American shale men. The country's crude output has rocketed. It was one quarter higher in the first 7 months of 2024 than it was during the same period 6 years ago. Canada's has grown by only 11% over the same period. Oil's decline penalises Canada's economy at large because it is one of the country's most productive sectors. That adds to a long-standing productivity problem. Growth in output per hour worked across Canada has been sluggish for two decades. It increasingly resembles Europe rather than America, which has benefited from a tech boom that has largely eluded Canada. Its GDP per capita since the pandemic has risen more slowly than that of every other G7 country bar Germany. What Canada lacked in productivity, it could long make up by having more workers, thanks to high immigration. Between 2014 and 2019, its population grew twice as fast as America's. Canada has historically been good at integrating migrants into its economy, lifting its GDP and tax take. But integration takes time, especially when migrants come in record numbers. Recently, immigration has sped up, and the newcomers seem less skilled than immigrants who came before. In 2024, Canada saw the strongest population growth since 1957. Many arrivals are classified as temporary residents, including low-skilled workers and students. They are more likely to be unemployed or in low-earning jobs, dampening growth in income per person. Canada's unemployment rate rose to 6.6% in August from 5.1% in April 2023. Take all this together, and it is clear that the seeds of the decoupling were sown much earlier than the pandemic, with sagging services the latest in a series of ailments. There are no quick fixes. Canada's central bank has cut interest rates three times so far this year, from 5% in May to 4.25% today. But many borrowers will still feel worse off because they have yet to renew their mortgages. Immigration restrictions have been introduced, including a cap on international students, but that won't solve Canada's chronic productivity problem. Catching up to Alabama may soon seem like a distant dream.